Messiah. Would you like to go to Sunday school? You can have cookies there. The rest of you stay put. If you have a Bible, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Last week on our Easter service, Candy sang a song, and it was about the will of God. Not our will, but His will be done. That's an important topic. We're going to look at some of that today. I know that you will be profitable by receiving it. What could be more important than the will of God? Absolutely nothing. Amen? He created us one day. For all those that have accepted Him as Savior, He has a home in heaven for us. And during this life, we get to serve Him. We get to please Him. We get to win others to Christ that they can be in heaven too at the same time. I don't know if you know the will of God for your life. People talk about that. Books are written about it. Actually, it's a very simple thing, and we're going to look at that. You should go home today knowing what the will of God is for your life. That's a pretty big statement. But it's one that is taught in the scriptures. How will doing God's will or not doing God's will, how will that affect you? And how will that affect people around you? We are instruments of God to do His will, and we will see that. Can you imagine the privilege of being used of God to win somebody to Christ, to change their eternal destination, to give them a home in heaven? I don't think there's anything more important in all the world than that. And the will of God is found in the Word of God, so we will see that. And we ought to be willing to do it. But let's begin reading in verse 1, 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And we will see our part as we go through this. And actually, it's not a fearful thing. It's not a bad thing. Well, if I surrender to God's will, He'll send me to Africa as a missionary. I hear that over and over and over. Well, even if He did, you'd be used of God in Africa as a missionary. Amen. Amen? Okay, we'll see what happens. Verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality. Great trial, great joy. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. And so much that we desired Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. For if there first be a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. There are several statements there in that those 12 verses. They were willing of themselves, the will of God, a readiness to will, and then first, a willing mind. We must be willing. It's amazing what God can do for the person that is willing to follow Him, that is willing to read or study or pray and let God into their life. It's absolutely marvelous. Amen. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for your will. Thank you for your word. And we pray as we open it, we will find the will for our lives. And I pray, Lord, that every person here would open their heart, open their mind to the truth, and be glorified by the results today. In Jesus' name, amen. It's a blessing to serve the Lord. In Exodus chapter 25 and verse 2, God told Moses, "Speak unto the children of Israel that they bring me an offering of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart. He shall take my offering." So way back in the book of Exodus, they were willingly serving the Lord, sacrificing for the Lord. Willingly means with free will, without reluctance, cheerfully, by one's own choice. It's not a have-to religion, it's a want-to religion. Amen? You can't make anybody get saved, and you can make them serve, but they won't serve joyfully. We have in Psalm 40 and verse 8, I just want to bring a message today that will not only get us closer to the Lord, not only help us with other people, but give us some joy in what we're doing. Amen? There's a lot of things in life you do because you have to do. You just have to do it. But what a blessing it is when you see God's will in that and you see the hope that it's going to give to other people. It's just a blessing. Psalm 40, verse 8, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. Gratitude is important in this. We delight to do it. Psalm 100, verse 4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. That's an important thing. You've got to be thankful you can come to church today. Amen. There's a reason for it. And there's no perfect church and there's no perfect people. We come because God's here. Amen. And gratitude, when gratitude dies on the altar of a man's heart, that man is well nigh hopeless. So we enter his courts with thanksgiving. The rest of the verse, and into his courts with praise, be thankful unto him, and bless his name. I delight to come to church. You get up early, amen. You get to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, get the kids ready, right? Iron something, and the iron breaks, and you're just having a wonderful day. Maybe a little argument on the way with your wife or with your husband, and who knows what happens, a flat tire. But when you get to church, amen, it's praise the Lord. A little bit of R&R. In 2 Corinthians 9:7, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth the cheerful giver. Amen? So everything we do for the Lord ought to have some joy to it. Jesus said in Matthew 21:28, but what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, Son, go work today in my vineyard. He was the father. He had the right to ask his son to do that. Verse 29, and he answered and said, I will not. Go work in the field. Go work in the vineyard. I will not. That was his will. But afterward, he repented and went. He changed his mind. And he came to the second and said, likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir. But he went not. He said he would, but he didn't. Whether of them twain did the will of his father, and they say unto him the first. Sometimes you change your mind. Sometimes it takes a little while to get on the right road. Sometimes God requires something or teaches something, or his word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, and it's not a direction we want to go. But when we finally realize that that's the best thing for us and the Lord, then we change our mind and we do that. Amen? It's called a change of heart. The other story in the Bible, Luke chapter 15, about two sons, was about the prodigal son. And he went out and he took his living and he wasted it, but he came to himself. He changed his mind and he came back to the Father. We do that. You ever have a good day? I had one back in 1980 one time, you know, but we've had a lot of good days as Christians. You ever have a day where it wouldn't matter what the Lord required of you, you're all for it? Yeah, Lord, I want to do that for you. Did you ever have a day when you didn't want to come to church? You say, well, now that you say that, you know, maybe you didn't want to come today. I'm glad you're here. Amen. And maybe God will give us some joy out of this. Watch and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Some days we're stronger in the Lord and some days we're weaker in the Lord. Some days we do for God what we enjoy doing for God, and some days it's a real battle to do what's right, but we do it anyway. Remember the story of Peter. Peter told the Lord, he said, I'll die for you. Now the other disciples are around too. And Peter was kind of the spokesman. He was always direct at everybody. But he said, Lord, I'll die for you. I'll go to prison for you. I'll do whatever. And then came the cost. Then came the trial. Then came the tribulation. And he changed his mind, didn't he? You know the story. He denied the Lord. He denied him three times. And then he got right again. And sometimes we ride the roller coaster. I wish, man, since I've been saved, this. You know, just keep on growing, and every day is a brighter blessing. Where you sing the song, Sweeter as the Days Go By, and then you have a bad day. You don't want to sing that song. But it'll come around again. God shows us and helps us. I think it's a blessing. Take your Bible, turn to Philippians. A little bit to the right, Philippians chapter 3. This is the Apostle Paul. He had a change of heart too. Remember the day of your salvation? I don't know what you were involved in. Mine was drugs and motorcycles and just all that kind of stuff. And when I got saved, God changed my mind about my whole life, about everything in my life. And it was a wonderful day. Amen. I don't know if you have a testimony like that. Maybe you don't. Maybe you are squeaky clean, and I mean that in a good way, that you served the Lord, maybe not served the Lord, but you went to church and you read the Bible and you did all that, but you weren't saved. You weren't a Christian. But when you got saved, when it made sense, when you finally accepted the Lord, your life changed. The Apostle Paul, let's begin reading here in verse 1, Philippians chapter 3. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I am more. Circumcised the eighth day, the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. He had religion. He had strict religion, but he didn't have Christ. And it says, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Do you understand what that is saying? And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. He went from persecuting the church to starting churches. That's quite a swing. Amen. That's quite a change. And he gave his life to that. Philippians, it's one of the prison epistles, and he's talking about being joyful while he's in prison. And he knew what was going to happen to him eventually, but he kept going on for the Lord. Amen. And sometimes we see the trial ahead and we stop. God, it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So God's at work. When a person gets saved, they're partakers of the divine nature. One more place. Go back a little bit to Galatians. Galatians chapter 5, probably 5-6 pages. Galatians chapter 5. It is good to have visitors. I just want to let you know my introductions are an hour. And then my sermon's 2 hours. But long introductions. Good to have you. And they do lock the doors too. Galatians chapter 5. Boy, what a difference here. Verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. It's a terrible, terrible list. Verse 21. Envyings, murders, drunkenness, and such like. But you come down to verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. If we live in the Spirit, we should also walk in the Spirit. These are things that God produces in our lives. And it is the will of God that we accomplish these things and do these things. Remember, to do the will of God, you have to say no to the flesh. You can't do the things of the flesh and do the will of the Lord. In Isaiah chapter 14, there's the five I wills of Satan. And beginning in verse 13, the Bible says, "For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend into the heights of the clouds." And number five, "I will be like the Most High. Yet that shall be brought down to hell," the Bible says. He's the king of pride. And when we get proud, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. There's all kinds of verses about that too. There's a choice to make. In John chapter 7, verse 17, "If any man will do his will." Many times his will is different than our will. But we can change that. Amen. We can will to do his will. It's going to get good in a minute here. God called me to preach in 1973. 6 years old when he called me to preach. Six. But I remember growing up with my cousin, and we spent a lot of time together. We were the same age. And we always talked about being pastors, preachers. And I grew up in a home that didn't want anything to do with God. And I won't go into that, but they would let me go to church. And it was a Lutheran church, and we were the accolades. Is it the accolades? Acolytes. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You lit the candles. What did you call that? Acolytes. Praise the Lord. And we did that, but we talked about when we got older what we were going to be. We said we were going to be preachers. He became a preacher, and I became a preacher. And over 50 years ago, I started planting churches or pastoring churches. There's a verse in Jeremiah, I claim. It's Jeremiah 1:5. "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." That's God's will for my life. I surrendered to preach in 1973, same year I got saved, off to Bible college, and then starting churches. And I've been doing it for a while now. And getting ready to retire tomorrow. Be a blessing. Amen. But we're getting up there in age, but it's been such a blessing to serve the Lord. And that was his will for my life and still is. After that, there's a verse in the Psalms, Psalm 143 and verse 10. "Teach me to do thy will." And it goes on and says, "For thou art my God, the Spirit is good, lead me." We're doers of the word and not hearers only. So here's the message. We are taught of God to love one another. Would it be the will of God to love one another? Yeah, amen. The Bible says, "Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Pretty bad sometimes, aren't you? And Christ has forgiven you. Amen. So are we supposed to be kind? Would that be the will of God? Yes. We are supposed to win people to Christ. Amen. "As the Father has sent me, even so send I you." Is it the will of God that we witness to people, show them Christ, and win them to Christ? Amen. I mean, we could go on and on and on. All these things. Pray ye one for another. Amen. Do you think it's the will of God to pray for each other? Yes. So there's so much here in the will of God. The will of God is found in the Word of God. And if you will present yourself a living sacrifice to the Lord, he will use you in all of these things. You can love the unlovely. You can be kind to the people that aren't kind to you. You can win somebody to Christ that doesn't know how to be saved. Or at least plant the seed. Amen? And that's important too. You don't win everybody you talk to, but at least it starts a process. Comfort one another. And that's an important thing too. People go through great trials, but that is the will of God. How could you ever know the will of God and never open a Bible? How could you ever know the will of God and not have a Bible? Because the will of God is found in the Word of God. How could you ever do the will of God by not obeying the Bible? I mean, this is so crystal clear. We'll get into it, but it's so crystal clear. The Bible teaches this. And we're all called to do the will of God. How could you ever do the will of God by not obeying the Bible? And here's the third one. How could you ever teach the will of God without using the Bible? Turn your Bible and go back to Deuteronomy. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Chapter 6. We are like a living Bible. Amen. Our life tells a story. And when we're working, it does. When we're at home, it does. But when we're around people, we can teach the Bible by sharing it with people and living it with people. But let's read this. This is verse 4 of chapter 6. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, these words, and thou shalt teach them the words diligently unto thy children, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. There's so many verses that reinforce that truth. And so we have the Bible, tells us all about the will of God, and we want to accomplish the will of God, so we use it to teach the will of God. Amen. You can really affect a lot of people like that. Stories are good, and there's applications to be made, but there's nothing like the Bible. Do you want to know the will of God? If you want to know the will of God, this is going to be a great sermon. Amen? I mean a great sermon. If you don't want the will of God, it's not going to be so great. Remember, when you throw a stone into a pack of dogs, it's safe to say the one that yells the loudest is the one you hit. Amen? You'll get that later. But if you're in on this, if you're on board with this, if you want the reinforcement here, I mean, tomorrow God could use you in witnessing to somebody. He could use you in comforting a broken heart. He can use you. It doesn't even have to be tomorrow. It could be before you leave the place today. Do you want to know the will of God for your life? Remember, the one disciple said to the Lord, "What shall this man do?" This isn't about that. This is about what God wants me to do. Billy Graham wrote this. There's a simple answer, which is this. God's will is for everyone to obey His word. This way, His will from the beginning. This was His will from the beginning. His perfect will was known to Adam and Eve in everything and gave one don't. All those things they could have. One don't. Don't eat of this tree. You think they could have done that. Amen? Just one thing the Lord is asking. And it says all through the scripture, He tells us what to do and what not to do. He tells us how to live. He gives us the strength to endure hardships, brings joy. When we walk in His ways, it's wonderful to desire and know God's will. Once you know it, do it. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It is God's will that all men everywhere would be saved. Would you agree with that? Amen. That's why we support missionaries, because we can't go to the mission field. We send somebody with the gospel message. We go across the street to talk to our neighbor, our fellow workers. We do that. And it says in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. In the previous verse that I read, it talked about the long-suffering of God. And why is He so long-suffering? Because He wants to give chance after chance after chance after chance. And that kind of a spirit needs to be in us. What's the song? Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will while I am waiting, yielding and still. That's His will. Go back to Jeremiah, or go forward to Jeremiah, chapter 18. Jeremiah chapter 18. It is God that worketh in you. God's at work in your life because you're a Christian. So if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. But since you have the Spirit of Christ in your heart, God is working in you. That's a blessing. So we will begin reading, let me find the verse. Chapter 18. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Here's the word again. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. And so he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel. And so God made it again. God took the imperfection out. God was always at work. If you've been saved any length of time, if you've come to church any length of time, if you've ever read your Bible, you know it's a growth process. You're maturing in your faith. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, but when you get to full age, it's the meat of the Word. It's not just the milk of the Word. We get a good meal. And we're always learning something that's going to help us. We always have these things in us that want to go the wrong way. Amen? And the Word of God says, this is the way, walk ye in it. Or thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I heard a voice behind me saying, this way to go. So we have the Word of God that always corrects us, leads us, helps us, encourages us. Thank God for the Bible. Amen? And if you don't have the Bible, if you don't use the Bible, you get pretty weak and go your own way. Last week was Easter. I had mentioned last week a story about my neighbor and how he came to church on Easter Sunday and he got saved. And then last Sunday, we had a young lady get saved on Easter Sunday. How about that? That made it great. Now, there was a large crowd here. I think we had about 1,500, something like that. We had, we had Red Coach Donuts. As many as you could eat. Amen. It was a great spirit. Everything just went well, but the salvation made that day really good. Amen. That young lady prayed a prayer and accepted Christ as her Savior. What a blessing that was. And here we are again. Here's the Word, and it's going forth. Amen. And who knows what God's going to do, but I wanted to use that to talk to you about something. There was a couple, they're friends of ours, my wife and I, and they're from Ohio, and she's a dog trainer. So they came up this week, and on Wednesday, my wife and this lady were out training the dog, walking and everything. Praise God. Amen. Just praise God. The dog trainer is here. And anyway, I got a chance to sit with Randy, is his name. And I asked him if I could use this illustration. He said, certainly. But Randy and I were talking. We've been friends for some time, friends at a distance. They've come up a couple times, and we've never been to their house. Anyway, I got to watch what I say. It's incriminating evidence. But he's a good man. He's a really good man. Goes to church. And we sat, and we began to talk. And we talked about all kinds of things. And then we got on some Bible things. And I asked him when he got saved. And he just couldn't really answer that. He said, there was a time I asked God to help me. And I got burdened for him because that's not a clear answer. And I said again, a lot of people ask God's help. You know, a lot of people that even don't know him. We had a jail ministry. Those guys were always asking for God's help. And, you know, just somebody needs God's help. But I said, that's not salvation, Randy. And I said, can you think back? Was there ever a time where you accepted Christ as your Savior? And he said, no. And he had been in church a long time. And I began to talk to him, and I said, Randy, you need to have Bible verses. I'm going to read you some Bible verses, and we're going to talk about them. And then you can, if you want, you can accept Christ as your Savior. So I did that. And we came to the point of decision, and I said, are you willing to accept Christ, Randy? And he said, yes. I mean, that's how he said it. His eyebrows went up. He said it real quick. It wasn't a debate. He just knew that was the will of God. He said, I've doubted this for a long time. I've had so many doubts. Yes, yes, I want to get saved. I want to accept Christ. And he prayed. But we're in my living room. I mean, it was a big day. It was a big day. And he bowed his head and received the Lord as his Savior. And then the ladies came home. And they're all excited about the dog. And once Randy said, I got saved, that changed the whole dynamic. Amen? Okay, now his wife is really happy. But anyway, it was a blessing. And I've met so many people. I've been pastoring 45 years. And I've met so many people that don't really have a clear-cut message or acceptance of Christ. They're good people. They believe in God. The Bible says the devils believe and tremble. The devil believes in God. But there's Jesus Christ, the sacrifice given to us for the remission of our sins. Amen. And I just want to go through a few verses. In 1 John 5:13. Well, before that, Jesus said, search the scriptures, for in them they speak of me. And we want to talk about the Lord. 1 John 5:13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. These things have I written unto you that you might know. Amen? It's not about asking God for help or even knowing that you're a sinner. There's something you must believe that's his will for you to be saved. Amen? In Romans chapter 3 and verse 10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everybody's a sinner. Amen? We're sinners. That's why we need a Savior. Romans 5:8, God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We have Romans 5:12, wherefore as by one man, sin entered into the world, Adam, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. We have Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. This is the will of God here. This is good information. Amen? You say, well, I don't like anybody calling me a sinner. The only way to be saved is to admit you're a sinner. It's the only way to be saved, because he came to die for your sins. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Verse 13. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the gospel. There's hundreds of verses that back that up. But that's an easy way to say it. And I said, do you believe what we've read, Randy? Yes, I believe it. You believe Jesus died for your sin? Do you believe he was the Son of God? Yes. Well, I wanted to make it as complete and thorough as I could for him, so he would never have a doubt. Amen. And I said, do you believe he died on the cross for your sins? Yes. Do you believe he'd forgive you of all your sins if you asked him? Just ask him. Yes. Do you believe he'd give you a home in heaven? Yes. And with that, he bowed his head and accepted Christ. Amen. That's the will of God for all men everywhere. He wants them to be saved. Some people don't have much of a testimony. They're good people. They believe in God. But there has to be a time that you were born again. Jesus said to Nicodemus, ye must be born again. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. You must be born again. So it's a time where you realize you are a sinner and you ask Jesus to be your Savior. Then, When that happened, something happened inside of you. And that's God's presence in you. Amen. What a blessing that is. Neither is there salvation in any other. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That's the name of Jesus Christ. If you're willing to tell, there are many willing to be saved. If you're willing to tell somebody this glorious message, there are people that will get saved. Amen. Church, I want you to hear this. It's a responsibility, it's the will of God that this church, that's you, that's all of us, amen, witness to people. That's the purpose of the church. We come here to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We go out there to win the world. You shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the world, amen. It keeps expanding. It goes to the mission field. But that is the will of God for each one of us. I wrote some verses down. The virtuous woman in Proverbs 31:13, she seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. Willingly. This is the virtuous woman. It's supper time. I can't stand working over this stove. And he burps when I eat and he never compliments me for my meal. But she's a good woman, is she not? And she worketh willingly with her hands. Nehemiah 11:2, the people blessed all the men that willingly offered themselves to dwell at Jerusalem. They're rebuilding the city. Judges chapter 5 and verse 2. Praise ye the Lord for the avenging of Israel when people willingly offered themselves. Verse 9, they willingly gave themselves to defend the city. So many. 1 Peter 5:2, this is for a pastor. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. 2 Chronicles 17:16, it says they willingly offered themselves unto the Lord. And you can go on and on and on. I'll give you one more scripture and two quotes and we'll be done. Ephesians 6, verse 6, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. What's the will of God for us? The will of God for us is to come through those doors and be thankful. The will of God is for us to come to church and be praising God and joyful. Amen. The will of God is to us helping one another, being a blessing one to another, singing praises to the Lord, honoring God with our lips. Amen. And then when we leave this place, maybe next Sunday bring somebody with you. Maybe be able to win somebody to Christ. That is our testimony. That's what God wants us to do. Do I know the will of God for my life? Absolutely. It's not the same as yours. I don't think there's any pastors in here. You might be a bricklayer. That's the will of God for your life. You might be a school teacher. That's the will of God for your life. Whatever it is, amen, you found your niche. You found the place where a baker, amen, I think that's a high calling, amen. That's a high calling. And God always tells you to share the baked goods, amen. But I mean, but when we bring it down to, okay, it's not our job. It's my duty. It's my privilege to win somebody to Christ. And I'll just say this. Think about the last person you won to Jesus Christ. Think about it. Get their face in your mind. The person you won to Jesus Christ. If you can't see anybody, you need to find somebody. Because God is going to use you to do that. That is His will. Amen? No amens on that. Do not ask the Lord to guide your footsteps if you're not willing to move your feet. Elizabeth Elliot, you know who she is? Married Jim Elliot. He was killed by the Alka Indians on the mission field. The will of God is not something you add to your life. It's a course you choose. You either line up yourself with the Son of God or you capitulate to the principle which governs the rest of the world. This is spiritual truth. Billy Graham wrote, if you're ignorant of God's word, you'll always be ignorant of God's will. And then Philip Yancey, we, Jesus' followers, are the agents assigned to carry out God's will on earth. Too easily we expect God to do something for us when instead God wants to do it through us. Through us. I trust God spoke to you today. If you are a member here and you come often, it's a little different today, but it's the message that God told me to preach. Thank you for your prayers. I think it's the one that's going to lead to somebody's salvation. We must. The days are getting shorter. I mean, the Lord's coming. Amen. We need to work for the Master. We need to win somebody to the Lord, or at least plant the seed. And then all the other things. I don't know how to keep preaching. I'll just stop right there and just let you absorb what you want to absorb. Let's bow our heads, please. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, if you've never received Jesus as your Savior, if you doubt, if it just doesn't line up with the Scripture, the Bible says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. Nobody's going to get to heaven by working, by doing more. You get to heaven by receiving Jesus as Savior. If you've never received Him, a prayer something like, dear Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Please forgive me. Thank you for dying for my sins. Please, I want my sins forgiven and I want to go home to heaven one day. Please. May God put a face in your mind. Somebody that you're going to talk to about Jesus. Let His will be done.